Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Now, beyond any legal definition, he is a convicted felon and about to become the first felon of the United States of America.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to George Conway Explains It All to Sarah. I'm Sarah Longwell, publisher of The Bulwark, and because I'm not a lawyer, I've asked my good friend George Conway from the Society for the Rule of Law to explain the legal news to me. And George, we're back. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. And are we going to be able to do this from Guantanamo? Are they going to let us do it from the same cell? And will advertisers pay for that?
Oh, advertisers will pay for it.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. No, for us hanging out together in Guantanamo? Okay. All right.
No,
sure.
I think the audience and the advertisers will be there. The question is, will the podcasting equipment, I don't know that the studio setup's going to be great.
Yeah, I guess that would be up to the Department of Defense.
And I see you've escaped already to some undisclosed location that looks very nice.
This is Vail.
Yeah.
I was previously at an undisclosed location north of the border.
Uh-huh.
There's more snow down here, which is interesting, which is probably relating to global warming and all the strange things going on.
Isn't there a strike in Vail or something?
There was a strike involving Vail Resorts, which owns basically some of the largest resorts now in the United States. They've accumulated them over the years, and they had a strike involving their Park City ski patrollers.
Oh, Park City.
And they just settled that strike, and all is good in the world again, and people aren't going to be freezing out in the boondocks after they hit trees and such.
Okay, great. Well, I'm glad.
All is happy in ski land, but not necessarily anywhere else in America.
Well, it's good to see you. I'm glad you're back. Happy New Year. Happy 2025. This is the year it all happens. But I am sorry. I feel bad. I badgered you into taking a minute from your vacation. But there has been a lot of legal news.
Yeah, all of a sudden, a lot of legal news. I mean, it's sort of the denouement and kind of the sad, anticlimactic end of attempts to hold this soon-to-be-first felon of the United States accountable for his crimes. But, there are some positives and some negatives from it. And it's sort of, I guess, important to take a retrospective about it and talk about what just happened and put it all together.
Well, I've been dying to talk to you. I'm going to start with the most timely news, and then I'm going to get to the issues that I've been most eager to discuss. But we had the sentencing today. It's Friday in the New York hush money trial. And
yes.
It was interesting. Obviously, he'd already been convicted of the 34 felonies in the New York hush money case, but he hadn't been sentenced. And so Trump videoed in for the sentencing rather than appearing in person. He received an unconditional discharge, which I guess means he won't face fines or prison time or anything else. And Mershon had sort of signaled this or indicated this. We'd seen reports of it. So it wasn't a surprise. But Trump still fought until the bitter end to avoid sentencing. And in fact, I think the only really interesting thing about this story is that because he petitioned it this week, the Supreme Court, so he had petitioned the Supreme Court to stop the sentencing. And last night they ordered the sentencing to go forward. It was the three liberal justices and then Justice Roberts and Justice Barrett. And so I have like a few questions about this, but right now, like, she is being savaged online by sort of the MAGA right, Justice Barrett, as like a turncoat and a MAGA traitor. But I understand why they decided to move it forward. But I guess what I don't understand is why Thomas, Alito, Gorsuch, and Kavanaugh, why they wanted to grant the stay.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Yeah, I am surprised that it got, that there were four votes against, four votes in favor of granting a stay. I mean, I thought there might be two, Thomas and Alito. I am still, I'm not going to say flabbergasted, but unnerved by the fact that Gorsuch and Kavanaugh saw merit in the application, particularly in light of the concession that Justice Merchan made in his opinion at the beginning of January, that basically he wasn't going to have an alternative but to not sentence Trump to incarceration. And, you know, there was not a lot at stake in this hearing today other than the fact that a judgment of conviction would be formally entered. I mean, to me, he's a convicted felon, you know, in the colloquial sense, as soon as the jury verdict came in, and if it's not overturned. But, you know, now he is actually a convicted felon. There is a, you know, there are 34 felony convictions that he is on record for. It's binding unless it gets appealed to a higher court and that conviction is reversed. And I don't think it will be, certainly not in the New York state courts. So, I mean, this was symbolically important, but as a practical matter, Trump was never, once he was elected president, there was zero chance of him serving prison time. And so it was understandable that both the DA's office and Merchan essentially conceded that the final disposition should be unconditional relief, although I would have like to have seen fines, even though the fines would be bupkis for Donald Trump. I don't remember the precise amount per account, but I think the maximum he could have been forced to pay would have been, I think, $5,000 per each of the 34 counts. I could have that wrong, but it would never have been an amount that he could not have paid for by selling some sneakers and watches or otherwise engaging in grifting or corrupt acts.
Yeah, I hate to do math on the fly, but it's like $17,500 or something.
No, right? Well, I think like $775. I don't know. It just doesn't freaking matter.
So according to the New York Times, since 2014, a third of defendants sentenced to the most serious charge of falsifying business records in the first degree in Manhattan received jail time, amounting to about less than a year behind bars. Other defendants received prison time or were sentenced to probation, conditional charges, community service, or fines. No other defendant in the cases examined received an unconditional discharge. So do you think this was the right outcome given the circumstances, or should Merchan have sort of held sentencing until Trump left office 4 years from now, or otherwise found a way to kind of...
Yeah, I don't know that they could have just held the case in abeyance until Trump's departure from office. I mean, then that would have led to appeals up to the Supreme Court about whether or not there is a pending prosecution. And if you take what the Justice Department, both the Nixon and Clinton Justice Departments, have said in Office of Legal Counsel memoranda, one in 1973 and one in 2000, no coincidence there about the timing of that. You know, they basically take the position, which I don't think I fully agree with, and I think I've expressed disagreement with on other of our episodes, that no criminal proceedings whatsoever can occur against the sitting president. So they would have run a risk there that, that the sentencing would never have occurred. He could have issued a sentence and then stayed the sentence. I think those would have been procedurally complex. I don't know what the New York state law would have been on that. I think as a practical matter, it was sensible, although, you know, obviously not satisfying from the standpoint of seeing Donald Trump actually be held accountable for his crimes. It was understandable that they basically said, we're not going to give him jail time. That being said, and I was discussing this this morning with a friend of mine who was a very prominent former assistant district attorney and very, very smart commentator. And I asked, well, could Judge Merchan, Justice Merchan, couldn't he have basically said, here's my analysis? All right. You talked about the New York Times survey of similar or cases involving similar charges, and there's not a lot of jail time administered. One of the things that Trump had in his arsenal of arguments against jail time was the fact that he was a first-time offender. As far as the law is concerned, he has never previously been convicted of something, and it is a nonviolent offense. So that's why you see in a lot of those cases that were described by the New York Times or tabulated by the New York Times, that there weren't jail sentences. That being said, there were a number of factors here that could have reasonably allowed a judge, leaving apart again the fact that this man is about to become president again, could have reasonably allowed a judge to have imposed a sentence of incarceration of 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, nothing, I don't think anything too long. And that's the fact that he shows absolutely no remorse or contrition for his acts. It's the fact that he has shown nothing but contempt for the jury, for the judge, for the legal process, and in fact was held in contempt of court 10 times by this court. I mean, this court would have been justified in making him spend a night at Rikers or something, or whatever basement cell they have at 100 Center Street. And the other factor that we didn't know until this morning, because the prosecutors did not have an opportunity to see it until just before the proceedings began, is the determination of the probation officer. As you may recall, Trump was required, like all convicted criminal defendants, to meet with a probation officer. And the probation officer makes an assessment of things like, well, can this guy be rehabilitated? Can he be a productive member of society? And one of the things they look at is, does the man have remorse? And basically, there is a line in that pre-sentence report from the probation officer, which we will never see, the report, because those reports aren't typically released, but the prosecution was allowed to read it just this morning and to quote from it, where basically the probation officer said, and we'll see it in the transcript that's probably going to be released soon, the defendant believes he's above the law. And to me, all of those factors, the lack of contrition, the contempt for the jury, the contempt for the judge, the 10 contempt orders that were entered against him, and the fact that he again thinks that the law does not apply to him as determined by, as the probation officer observed, those, to my mind, could have reasonably allowed a sentencing judge, again, leaving apart the fact that Trump is about to become president of the United States, to say this man should go to jail for 6, 12, 18 months. He could go up to 4 years because each of those counts was a potential four-year prison count, but you're not going to have them run consecutively. He could have, what Merchan could have done today and what I would have liked him to have done would be to say, if this were some other case, okay, the fact that he's elected president, as Merchan said, and is not a mitigating factor. Okay, in terms of his culpability and sentencing. But the practical fact that he is about to become president and the Constitution would not allow the incarceration of a sitting president, that is a factor. And what I think he should have said was, this is, had he not been elected president, we're not about to become president in 10 days and 2 hours, I think what he should have said is, this is what I would, this would have been my analysis. Okay? First offender, he gets little points for that. But the total and lack of remorse, the contempt for the rule of law shown in repeated statements about the court, about the jury, and to the probation officer compels me to make an example of him and compels me, and along with the facts of the case and the prominence of the case, to set an example by sentencing him to a prison term. And then you say, however, under Article 2 of the Constitution, as the DA concedes, this sentence could never be executed. He will automatically, it would be stayed pending appeal, and then he could, you know, it could not be enforced during his term of office. And so he would have ended up in the same place, unconditional discharge. But at least this would have been laid out on the record that this man did deserve jail time. The other aspect that I question, and I could go either way on it, I guess, I felt that it was possible for him, Judge Marchand, to fine Trump. Okay, because the fine, I'll go through the counter argument in a minute. The fine is something that would be imposed before Trump assumes the presidency, before Trump assumes, receives the presidential immunity that comes with being president. And, you know, the $150,000, I think it would have been $5,000 a count, so probably doing more math, maybe erroneous math, you know, it would have been under $200,000, I think. If someone out there looks it up and I have the numbers wrong, God bless them. He could pay that. The counter argument is, well, he'd have that hanging over his head if he didn't pay it immediately, and you can't have that hanging over the head of the President of the United States. That would violate Article 2 because he might be thinking so much about it that he won't be able to focus on his job, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, for him, it's just a few, you know, scummy watches and sneakers. So I really, you know, I might have taken that chance if I were the DA or the judge, but, you know, I mean, what difference does it make at this point? It is what it is.
It's 170,000, by the way. I did a math on the calculator.
You're assuming that I know what the New York Penal Code says the proper fine is.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So I confess I never practiced criminal law in the state courts of the state of New York, so I could have that wrong.
Got it.
So, you know, it's anticlimactic. It's disappointing. It's ironic, I think, when you look back, that this was the one case. But he does have a criminal conviction. He is now officially. I mean, I considered him such colloquially before this day, because look, I mean, the jury found him guilty on 34 counts, and he didn't have a. I don't see the legal basis for overturning that verdict. But now, beyond any legal definition, he is a convicted felon and about to become the first felon of the United States of America. And I'm going to be more than perfectly content in calling him the first felon from here on in, unless and until this conviction gets reversed in the courts of appeals or in the Supreme Court, which at its earliest, I don't think it will happen, but at its earliest would happen 3 or 4 years from now.
Okay, good explanation.
Right. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Okay, so I've been dying to ask you about the Jack Smith release of the final report and Eileen Cannon's intervention. So, because the other big news of the week is the classified documents case. Jack Smith, he wants to release the final report from that investigation. Eileen Cannon blocked the release. And now it's on appeal to the 11th Circuit. Right? I've got that right, don't I?
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Yes, it's a little more complicated than that, and I'll go into a little bit of the complexities, but basically the TLDR, as they say, is that, yes, it's technically on appeal, but it's not going to matter after Monday, and we're going to see at least the portion of the report probably next week, issued, you know, released by Merrick Garland, and we're going to see volume one of the report, which involves the January 6th fiasco. An investigation.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
The TLDR. But I can go through the technical details of how we got there and how Judge Cannon, in her infinite willingness to assist Trump, notwithstanding basic principles of law, had tried to block it.
So I do want to go into that because you and I have talked about Eileen Cannon a lot on this show. And so my antenna went up real fast when I saw her doing this. And I was like, you know what I've always said with my limited experience is like, this is a person auditioning for Trump to put her on the Supreme Court. And because she doesn't just rule in his favor. She throws her career body on grenades for this guy.
Correct.
Right?
She does things that are completely, utterly fucking, excuse me for using that word, that are indefensible and illogical, to the point where at one point, you may recall, Bill Barr was saying what the woman was doing was out of control. And, you know, it really is a disgrace. She represents everything, her behavior, her temperament, represents everything that a federal judge or any judge should not be. And I have, and you've heard me talk about her. I'm very hesitant to criticize judges, even for decisions I vehemently disagree with. But there is, after all, everything we have seen from her, she is completely unfit to be a federal judge. And it's not because she ruled in favor of Trump all those times. It's because of how she ruled in favor of Trump all those times. And the clear message from trying to explain her inexplicably, her non-legal reasoning leads me to conclude that her principal object in life was to please Donald Trump. And that, for me, renders her unfit for any judicial office. And I hate to say that. There are many judges whose judicial temperament I've doubted over the years, but I would never have used language like that to describe virtually any of them.
Can you explain, just so our audience understands, like what she did here and why it's so unusual?
The whole thing is unusual because it's, you know, you have, the facts are unusual. The fact that you had multiple criminal cases against a presidential candidate, including this particular case in the Southern District of Florida, which was a slam dunk, okay? Let's go take a step back. The reason why this case got assigned to Judge Eileen Cannon is because it was filed in a smaller division of the United States District Court for the Southern District of Florida, which includes Miami. Most of the judges sit in Miami because most of the population is in Miami. If some criminal events happen, or civil events, if they have happened in the portion of the district that surrounds Palm Beach, then you're kind of obligated under the local rules to file in the Palm Beach courthouse. And what happens as a result of that is you get a smaller pool of judges, I think four. And one of them is this judge who sits in Fort Pierce named Eileen Cannon. And so there was like a 1 in 3, 1 in 4 chance of getting Cannon if he had, and he got lucky. He got that judge. If he had gotten any other judge, the odds are this case would have been tried long ago by the, you know, at the latest by the spring of 2024 or the summer of 2024. He lucked out by getting the one judge who tried to do things to obstruct the investigation, got reversed twice in very harsh terms by the United States Court of Appeals by the of the 11th Circuit, which includes some very conservative judges, including a man who I greatly admire, Judge William Pryor, who was a former Attorney General of Alabama and who was actually on Donald Trump's short list of judges in 2016 that Don McGahn put out as potential Supreme Court nominees. He's a wonderful man and, you know, a stalwart in protecting the rule of law, and he slammed Cannon. And, you know, Trump got lucky with getting this judge who basically slowed everything down, made a lot of ridiculous rulings in his favor, got reversed twice, made sure that everything happened as slowly as humanly possible, and then ultimately dismissed the case on completely meritless grounds, basically saying that the Justice Department, the Attorney General, had no business appointing a special counsel. And there is just zero. I mean, that had, I think, in any fair court of appeals, that had zero probability of success. So, you know, he really, really lucked out. And so what happened was she dismissed the case late this summer, and it went up. It's up before the Court of Appeals. It was being briefed. I think it would have been argued or would still potentially be argued in December or January of this year. But basically, Trump, by getting that ruling from Judge Cannon, had basically run out the election year. And now, because he's going to become president in 10 days, you know, he could have had the case dismissed against himself. But what the Justice Department did is it dismissed the case against Trump, but then decided to continue to appeal the dismissals against the people I call the minions. Their names are De Oliveira, who is, I think, the IT guy, and Walt Nauta, who was the personal body man, both of whom participated at Trump's direction in the obstructions of justice. The point of proceeding with that appeal is so that the Justice Department can pursue its interest in having a court of appeals say that Eileen Cannon had it completely wrong about her ruling that the special counsels appointed pursuant to this regulation that has existed since the Obama administration were improper. At this point, here's the problem. So what we have now is Trump's been dismissed. The dismissal against the two minions is on appeal. And then what happened was Trump moved in the district court to have Cannon block the special counsel's report. Okay, and then at the same time, the minions made a similar application in the United States Court of Appeals. So let's deal with Trump's application first. The biggest problem with Trump's application is that the district court had absolutely no jurisdiction, no subject matter jurisdiction to entertain that motion. And what that means is subject matter jurisdiction is the ability to decide a case.
Yeah, like, okay. Why was Eileen Cannon doing anything about this case?
Well, you're asking exactly the right question. When a notice of appeal is filed in a district court, when a court enters judgment, and then within 30 days, a party files a notice of appeal, everything relating to that judgment is beyond the power of the district court to affect, amend, anyway, anything about it. That once that notice of appeal was filed, that dismissal was in the 11th Circuit. This is the dismissal against Trump and minions. And she has no power to enter any order in the case unless somebody asks the Court of Appeals to say, Can you please give the district court a little jurisdiction back to decide this and give her permission to decide this thing that we need to have decided? Or you can ask the Court of Appeals to say, what, for example, bail pending appeal. Okay, so let's say that a district judge issues the sentence, refuses to stay the sentence pending appeal, issues the judgment of conviction, and orders the defendant remanded to prison. Okay? Once that appeal from that is taken, she can't change her mind. She can't undo it. And you have to ask the Court of Appeals for permission to allow the district judge to do that. So anyway, long story short, she had no power to entertain the application before her. And yet she did. And then she went one step beyond. Okay? She had no power to enter any order whatsoever. But her order not only enjoined the Justice Department from releasing the report that pertained to the Mar-a-Lago documents investigation, she purported to enjoin the part of the investigation that related to January 6th and all everything that happened in Washington, which had absolutely nothing to do with the case that was no longer before Judge Cannon. It was doubly ridiculous. Now, what the 11th Circuit decided last night was actually a separate application. Nauta and De Oliveira, if I have it correctly, actually made the proper motion because they made a motion in the Court of Appeals, and the Court of Appeals at least has jurisdiction over the case. Whether or not it has power to overturn the Justice Department regulations or affect their application in this case, you can debate. But they made an application before the correct court, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit, on an expedited basis for a temporary injunction against the Justice Department from issuing the report. And what the Justice Department did in response was to say, well, there's no power for you to do that. There's no good reason for you to do that because there are two volumes to the report. Volume one is about January 6th, which has nothing to do with the case, and that portion of the report, which has been transmitted to the Attorney General of the United States along with the other portion of the report, does not even mention Nauta and De Oliveira, the minions in Mar-a-Lago. They have zero standing, zero argument, zero reason, and zero authority to object to the release of that volume. And then as to the second volume, the Justice Department essentially said, the special counsel has recommended to Merrick Garland, although a redacted version has been prepared, they recommended to Merrick Garland that he not release that portion. And the reason why is, in theory, De Oliveira and Nauta, the Mar-a-Lago minions, as I call them, are still technically under indictment, although the indictment has been dismissed. And if the Justice Department has its way and gets the dismissal reversed, they will go to trial in the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Florida against some judge, hopefully not Eileen Cannon, but this is all hypothetical. And of course, releasing the report, would jeopardize their interest in a fair trial because it would arguably prejudice the veneer. So in accordance with Justice Department policy, in light of the fact that these people are still being prosecuted, we are not going to release that report. And to the Court of Appeals, that was enough. The Court of Appeals said, if they're not going to, if Nauta and the two minions have nothing to complain about, so we are not going to grant the requested relief. But then the Court of Appeals said, we understand that the district court has issued this order, which has not been appealed, but you can appeal that one too. Hint, hint, it's not going to stand. And anyway, what happened was in the district court's order, this is getting a little complex, but in the district court's order directing that the Justice Department not issue either piece of the report, she basically said that if the 11th Circuit rules otherwise on the minions' motion, then her order will automatically lift itself in 3 days, which is on Monday. And so the worst thing that's going to happen is on Monday, that order disappears and goes into the ether. And then Merrick Garland will be free to release the portion of the report that he wants to release. Now, also last night, or in the last 24, 36 hours, the Justice Department did actually file a formal notice of appeal of what Judge Cannon's order. But I don't, you know, I mean, are they really going to go through the rigmarole of writing briefs in the next 24 hours for something that's going to expire on its own terms? I don't think so. And the only remaining question is whether or not Trump tries to take any of this to the Supreme Court. And I just don't think the Supreme Court's even going to bother with it at this point. So I think the end result is that within the next few days, maybe as early as late Monday night or Tuesday, we will see an unredacted version of Volume 1 of the special counsel's report on its investigation of the events surrounding January 6th. And there will be some interesting revelations in there, I am confident. The other thing I would add as a comment on what happened or what the Justice Department is doing is, you know, ordinarily my view would be, yeah, prosecute the minions. If we can't prosecute Trump, prosecute the minions. That would be my normal course. Say, let them dismiss the case in the same way that I would say, I would have told FBI Director Wray, let the fucker fire you on January 20th.
Right.
All right, although, you know, maybe he has some personal financial pension issues, I don't know. In this case, if I were Attorney General Garland, I would have just ordered the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Southern District, the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of Florida to dismiss the case against the minions. For the simple reason, like, yes, it's never going to happen. The Justice Department, under the next administration, will withdraw those cases. And I would normally force them to do that. But in this case, then there would be no reason not to release the second volume of the report that addresses the Mar-a-Lago document situation. He was caught red-handed, basically, with the contraband. But that being said, there would be some, you know, we speculate, interesting aspects of the report. Like, did Kash Patel commit perjury in the grand jury? That's kind of interesting, given that he's going to be nominated for FBI director. And then there are some other things. There are always some things in there that we might not have known about. And it would be interesting. And for the historical record, I would love to have seen that report released to the public. I'm concerned now that because of the insistence of pursuing a prosecution of the minions that will never, ever actually result in a trial, we're going to lose the opportunity to see that report as well.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Okay, so here's my follow-up question. Can Biden, now that he has presidential immunity, just be like, release it all, guys?
I don't know whether it would be... I mean, the president has criminal liability for acts that could be prosecutable. I don't know whether his ordering people to do that would necessarily be a crime. I'd have to think about that. You've got me on the spot there. But let's assume it were, he would be immune. On the other hand, the people underneath him who carried out the orders might not be immune.
Yeah, so, I was trying to do like one of these mental exercises of like, because, you know,
Einstein called them Gedanken experiments. This is not my complete law school exam answer, because I think I'd probably want to take a few minutes off camera to think about it and actually do a little research. But I think, yes, he could do whatever. I mean, if he could basically say, send this report over to me, and then basically
I'm going to talk about it for
make photocopies of it in the West Wing and start handing it out in the press room. Yes, he could do that, and nothing would happen to him. Under the Supreme Court's decision.
Not advocating it. I'm just thinking out loud about what, just asking questions, George. I'm just asking questions.
But look, I mean, you know, good news is we're going to see the Jan 6 report. I'm 99.9% sure about that. And
your point about Kash Patel is a good one. You know, like there are going to be people in there who are part of the incoming administration who are going to have roles. And so, especially for some senators who I think are probably on the fence about Kash, it might give them some fresh reasons to vote against him for confirmation.
Yeah.
Not that they need fresh reasons for
that. Not that they need any. I mean, his coloring book or whatever it is enough, I think.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Yeah. Okay. Last topic, unless you got something burning a hole for you.
No.
But I just wondered what you thought. You know, it was reported this week, I think on Tuesday, that Trump and Alito spoke on the phone. Apparently, it was a reference check. Trump asked Alito about whether he should hire one of his former clerks. And it seems like the concern of this particular lawyer is that he served as a chief of staff to Attorney General Bill Barr, who Trump no longer likes because, even though Bill Barr basically bailed him out on the Mueller report. So not only is it weird for President-elect and a sitting Supreme Court justice to have a reference call, this happened during the same week that Trump asked the Supreme Court to stop his sentencing, right? It was in front of him. Alito said that he and Trump didn't discuss the sentencing position, but, you know, I don't know. This is like, I don't know. I mean, what am I doing trying to uphold norms?
All right, let me break down my preliminary opinion about that. First of all,
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
There is nothing wrong with anyone calling a justice to say, hey, this clerk of yours, is he any good? Is he smart? Is he great? And is he, you know, is he good to work with? And so on and so forth. And
okay, so not that weird.
That part of it isn't that weird, although the notion that the president of the United States was doing that for what I assume was a sub or sub cabinet position seems unusual. I mean, it would be perfectly appropriate for somebody like, you know, the attorney general designate, if it's somebody in the Justice Department, to make that call, or somebody in the transition team to make that call. But let's set that aside.
It's like there below is Trump's pay grade to be making this reference, Jeff.
Yes, but it's not improper for the president to do anything below his pay grade, and there really is nothing beneath this president of the United States, as we know. He's so attentive to detail.
Sure.
And there was nothing wrong with the justice taking that call, again, as long as they are not in any way implicitly or otherwise discussing any matter that is before the Supreme Court, particularly one that involves the personal interests of the President of the United States. And now, here's where you get to the prudential aspect of it. Somebody with some respect for the legal system would not have made that call and would have had somebody else make the call. Okay? But again, it's not technically, I think it's not technically improper. Here's the thing that really is bothersome about it, and it's what you alluded to at the end there. I don't think there's any question, it doesn't sound like there's any question about the qualifications of this man, whose name I do not know, to serve in whatever position he's going to serve in. He's obviously a Supreme Court clerk, he worked for Bill Barr, he has government experience, and if there's something about him that I don't know, this is a perfectly, he's a guy who you would expect to get a good job in a Republican administration. a good sub cabinet job, a good non-confirmable job. I don't know the details of them. But the fact, as reported, that Trump's concern was personal loyalty in light of the fact that this individual worked for an attorney general who basically, until the very end, did nothing but Trump's bidding, is disturbing. And it's disturbing that Trump would think that Sam Alito would have something reassuring to say about that. Because it doesn't go to the guy's skills or qualifications. It goes to his political reliability that is being called into question in Trump's own mind, because at some point during, at the end of Bill Barr's tenure as Attorney General, he chose to follow the law and the Constitution over Donald Trump. So the fact that Trump felt that Alito was someone who could express an opinion about this man's loyalty, if that is what happened, and it certainly looks that way from the circumstances and the reporting, that is extremely disturbing. And that, if that is what happened, it's appalling. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. It's a good take. It's a good take. I wondered what you thought.
That's my take.
Okay. Well, George.
Sorry to get all huffed and puffed up. Like we you know, we just, you know, we, it's time for us to all accede and concede the, you know, the republic to the barbarians.
No. But you should go back to skiing. Don't forget to use your OneSkin, and we'll catch you guys next time.
Always fun.
Well, George Conway, he's a man with a plan. Got to sit down with Sarah Longwell, take a stand, explain all the legal problems they're piling high. With Donald Trump, oh my, oh my, oh my. He said, Sarah, let me break it down for you. There's obstruction of justice, corruption too. The legal tangles and troubles, they're growing fast. It's a storm that's gonna last and last. Oh, Conway, tell Longwell about it. Those legal problems can't live without it. From the Ebola mess to the Russian ties. Oh, Sarah, listen close.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.